This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Dick Cheney headed up George Bush's VP search committee and then got the job. He's wielded a very big stick in his 7-plus years, maybe redefined the office. Now Barack Obama and John McCain are deep into the search for running mates. The names are all over the place, from familiar faces to virtual unknowns and some way out-of-the-box possibilities. The American people are watching, so are we, this hour, On Point Obama, McCain, their unique challenges, and the calculus of picking a vice presidential running mate. Joining me today from Portland, Oregon, Celinda Lake, Democratic pollster, strategist, and president of Lake Research Associates. Celinda Lake, great to have you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
From the Woodlands, Texas, Republican strategist David Hill, president of Hill Research Consultants. David Hill, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
And from Washington, Howard Feinman, senior Washington correspondent and columnist for Newsweek. He's author of the new book, The 13 American Arguments, Enduring Debates That Define and Inspire Our Country. Howard Feinman, welcome back. Great to have you.
Thanks, Tom.
Howard, let me go first to you. Can we say what each of these, as it turns out, men need in a running mate? Can we define the hole that needs filling on each side here?
Well, we can make a guess at it from the way they've run their campaigns and from talking to people around them and from looking at them as candidates. I'd say in sum, John McCain needs somebody on the domestic side, probably younger. That's the short of it, and somebody who can appeal to independents and some Democrats who may be disaffected. On the Democratic side, Obama needs somebody to anchor him. He's the big change agent, but probably needs somebody maybe older who's got some perhaps military experience or background or foreign policy background who can say, yes, Obama's for change, but he also knows how the world works.
Celinda Lake, David Hill, we'll go to names, but first to your sort of broad sense of what each needs. David, what about John McCain? How would you define the hole that needs filling here, the place awaiting a name on his ticket?
Well, the thing that I think that probably John McCain needs the most is a sense of excitement coming out of the naming of a vice presidential nominee, somebody who seems fresh and new. John McCain's a longtime figure in the American political scene, and he needs somebody that's going to freshen up and let people know that he does have a vision for the next generation.
Does he need, I guess it would almost by definition be a younger running mate, but how much younger without looking too young next to the man who would be our oldest president ever sworn in?
Well, that's the good thing about being John McCain and looking for a younger running mate. That doesn't narrow the field too much. I think it could be, I think he's probably going to be looking for somebody in their 50s, somebody who has some seasoning, who's ready to serve as president. I think that's one of the key things when we talk about this. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of interesting names you could come up with that would be novelties, but I think John McCain in particular is the kind of person that is going to insist that whoever it be, that serves with him be fully capable to be commander-in-chief and assume all the responsibilities of the presidency should they need to.
Celinda Lake, we'll go to names and we'll go to electoral math, but what about on the Obama side? You advise Democrats, when you look at Barack Obama today, the trail he's been down and the challenge ahead of him in November, is there a profile here or does it come down to specific people of what he ought to be, needs to be looking for?
Well, I think two things. I think number one, as Howard said, he needs someone who will reassure voters, particularly on the experience in foreign policy and the military. The second thing I think is that, interestingly, in both of these cases, I think more so than maybe previous vice presidents, voters will be looking to make sure that this looks like somebody who could also be president. I think John McCain, people will be thinking about whether or not it's just a 4-year administration or an 8-year administration, and whether that candidate could be president. And similarly, on the Obama ticket, I think they'll be looking for someone who'll be a partner, just as Cheney has been a partner for Bush. I also think one thing we haven't talked about is VPs are often chosen because, frankly, they're able to deliver a punch. It's the VPs anymore that often are the ones who raise questions about the other side and are the ones who launch attacks. So I think both sides will be looking for someone who has that capacity.
Interesting on a lot of fronts there. David Hill, let me put that to you. Do you think that Obama or anybody else, McCain, ought to be looking for another Dick Cheney, maybe one of the most powerful vice presidents in history? Do Americans want more of that or less?
Well, I think that in the case of Obama, it would be important to have somebody who has similar credentials to Dick Cheney, because the real issue, I think, about Obama as we go forward is he ready to serve as president, fully ready? We know he's a very bright individual. He's a person who certainly captured the hearts and minds of a lot of Americans. But being president is more than just having charisma and having intelligence. There is a measure of seasoning that gets into the assessment of qualifications. And so he would be indeed fortunate, I think, to have someone like a Dick Cheney along his side, both just to be president, but also to reassure Americans that should we need that type of seasoning, it's going to be there.
Barack Obama says John McCain would be another George W. Bush. Does John McCain want a Dick Cheney-style VP at his side? David?
No, I think that John McCain's strong suit is going to be his knowledge of government, the ins and outs of it. And Dick Cheney was really a product of George W. Bush in the sense that he perhaps was being elected just because he's the son of a famous man, a president. And there was the need inside the Beltway to convince people that he had the right stuff in terms of staffing. I don't think that's at all an issue about John McCain. So John McCain has more freedom here to be able to pick somebody who maybe even is a niche player, somebody who has particular qualifications in one area of a policy.
Howard Fineman, let's go to the names. And on the Democratic side, of course, the big one is Hillary Clinton, and it comes with the question about whether or not Barack Obama actually has a choice. Does he have to take, maybe he wants to, but does he have to take Senator Hillary Clinton?
No, he doesn't have to take Senator Hillary Clinton, and he's made that clear, at least in his mind he doesn't have to, and he's tried to emphasize that from the beginning. Especially after they put out a list a mile long of possible names. Hers was on it, but only one of many, many. I think he's got some latitude, too. I think he can look at the full range of experienced people from all walks of life, because if this is a change election, and it no doubt is, even John McCain uttered the word change 35 times mm-hmm. in that speech he gave the other week.
Right.
Then Obama's got that covered, so he has a wide range of people he can look at. He does have a problem, at least initially, with some disaffected, disappointed, angry women who are Democrats. But I think he's right that they'll come back for the most part. So that's not the only thing he has to do. Hillary's got some experience, but if he's looking at the Senate, there are other people with much more foreign policy and defense experience than Hillary, even though she tried to really get up to speed on that quickly. A number of senators there, whether it's Joe Biden or Chris Dodd or Evan Bayh or even Jim Webb, who hasn't been in the Senate long but who has a military background. If Barack Obama is looking for the anti-Cheney, it's pretty clear who that is. It's probably Sam Nunn, the former senator from Georgia.
Right. Out of the Senate now since 96. He's been gone a long time.
Yes, he has, but he has the same concerns that Dick Cheney has, but not the apocalyptic vision that Dick Cheney has.
Celinda Lake, sorry, Howard.
Go ahead, I'm done.
Let me put it to you, Celinda. Who's we'll look at a lot of names here, but who's on your short list? Who's in the inner circle that would make most sense to you, Celinda, for Barack Obama?
Well, I agree with everything Howard said, and I would add one other name to that, which is Wesley Clark, who also could tie into some of the Hillary Clinton alliances, but brings the military experience, actually one or more without getting a whole bunch of people killed. So I think that that's another very exciting name. But I think Howard said it right. And I also think that at this point, Barack Obama is looking to reassure voters. And I think that I don't think putting Hillary Clinton on the ticket, it's just an awful lot of glass ceilings that would be broken that way. And the voters that would be most excited about that are the ones that Barack Obama already has or will easily consolidate.
Celinda, you wrote the book, What Women Really Want When It Comes to Politics, title of your book. So it was, what about it? I mean, does Barack have to put Hillary or a woman there to woo back that portion of the electorate?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, it's interesting that women are not monolithic. And of course, Barack Obama very, very strong with younger women, very strong with college-educated women. I think the Hillary Clinton women in the primary will largely be back. If nothing else, I think that McCain will be very unifying for them. But I think in the general election, there are older, non-college-educated women who are very security-oriented, risk-aversive, who will be looking to be reassured. And I think these are women who had kind of mixed feelings about Hillary Clinton, frankly, once you got beyond the Democratic end to the independent end. So I think that you can both unite and appeal to those women as well as reassure the rest of the electorate with the same choice. And sad to say, it probably isn't a woman.
Wall Street Journal NBC News poll out late last week showing Barack Obama ahead among women generally in the electorate, 52-33%. That looks like a big lead. And yet there stood Hillary Clinton with a lot of women supporting her. Let's listen to a little bit of potential running mate talk here and talk about potential running mates. Here's Minnesota's Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty. Seems to be on everybody's list for the number two spot with John McCain. But does he want the job? Here's what he said June 8th on Fox News Sunday.
I have a fond and deep respect for Senator McCain and his leadership. I want to help him become the president because I think he'd be a great president. But I don't have any designs on being vice president. Somebody who came to me and said that, of course, I'd be honored to be mentioned, honored to be asked, and it'd be difficult to turn that down.
And then there's all the talk about Senator Hillary Clinton on the Democratic ticket, people with lots of opinions on this. Here's a sample last week from Miami First, pro-Hillary.
A lot of women in my demographics, particularly maybe 40 to 60, I think would really want Hillary there. We feel kind of like we lost a heroine or a hero, and running with Barack, I think, would be a great choice for the Democrats.
And here's a voter who thinks that would be a bad idea.
I think it wouldn't work. She's done too much dirty stuff. She didn't run a fair campaign, in my opinion, but I liked her before this.
All right, David Hill, do we have a sense yet of who's really on John McCain's short list? I mean, you know, the gang he had out to Arizona a few weeks back, Mitt Romney and the rest. Are they showing any cards here? Do you have a sense from inside party circles?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily take the interview weekend that was held in Arizona to necessarily give you a real insight into what's really going on in their deliberations. Sometimes a candidate might be brought in just for the symbolic importance of a state that he or she might represent. The name that I hear the most discussion about is Rob Portman. And a lot of things would, you know, sort of point to Portman being a good choice. Age is young, a person with a breadth of experience, a person from a key swing state like Ohio. So when you go down the checklist of considerations in a VP, Rob Portman looks like he might be a strong candidate.
Introduce us to him a little more fully, Howard Fineman. Here he is, youngish, Ohio congressman, a background in the Bush administration. Who is Rob Portman, Howard?
Well, I agree that he's very much on the list when you talk to people around the McCain campaign and the McCain inner circle. And by the way, a key for McCain is to know the person. McCain is very much of a Navy guy. He's a squadron guy. He wants to have a good feel for whoever that person is going to be. And he knows Rob Portman. Rob Portman was a congressman from southern Ohio, from the Cincinnati area. I believe he's 52 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Dartmouth College. I'm not sure where he went to law school, but it was a good one. He was in a law firm for a while. He was very respected in Congress, not only for knowing the details, but for being a man of goodwill who could work with people. Even though he was a conservative at heart, he would reach across the aisle.
He watched over trade and economics for President Bush. But does that make him evidence of, you know, Bush 2 if McCain goes to him, that this would be another Bush administration?
I think that's potentially a problem, although Portman could argue that he was on the side of the angels in the discussions behind the scenes, and you know that George Bush and his people wouldn't disagree with him. That would be one of George Bush's contributions to that ticket if there were to be one. So Portman was trade representative, and then he was budget representative, and then he was budget director. And I think Portman believes, as McCain does, that getting control of spending is important and that the Republicans in the Congress were a runaway freight train on that. So it could be argued either way. The other thing about Portman is, because he's had a range of experience, even though he is younger, he's pretty well seasoned, to use the term that was used before. He's pretty well seasoned for a relatively young guy. And he is from Ohio, and that southern Ohio area is absolutely crucial, one of the two sort of pivot points on the Electoral College map, the other being the Southwest.
Does the consideration, serious consideration of Portman, mean that Ohio's in play, Howard, that McCain's really worried about it?
Oh, yeah. Ohio's always in play. I think it was Richard Nixon who said it's always about Ohio. You know, to some extent, that's true. It's Florida, it's Ohio, it's the usual suspects, plus the Southwest, I think, although McCain, being from Arizona, kind of makes that even more interesting and complicated. But sure, the seam along the Ohio River, western Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, sometimes Kentucky, those states, that seam really matters. And you may recall in 1992... when Bill Clinton and Al Gore left from New York on their bus tour, after Bill Clinton had surprised everybody by picking Al Gore, they worked that seam, the old Copperhead North, if you will, all the way along out to St. Louis. It's still important.
Barack Obama with some designs on that seam as well, looking at Virginia as a state that might come the Democrats' way. Here's Democrat Tim Kaine, governor of Virginia. Let's listen for a second at what he's had to say, also on Fox, about running with Obama.
I think probably it would be hard for anybody to say no under a situation like that, but I'm not expecting it, not counting on it. Certainly didn't endorse the senator with any plan to get anything out of it. I just want to help him win.
So Linda Lake, Tim Kaine, what do you make of him? How close to the short list do you see him?
Well, I think that governors are interesting, and they've talked a lot about senators, but I actually think that a governor, someone who's run a state, and Kaine has obviously done that, Obama puts Virginia in play, but I think if it's a Virginian, probably leaning a little bit more to Webb than Kaine.
What do you say, David Hill? Do you see Virginia in play and Kaine as a possible way to bring it home for the Democrats?
Sure. I think Virginia is a state that increasingly is moving toward swing state status. I do agree with Selinda that I think governors are interesting. They would be interesting for both of these candidates. I think symbolism is very important, whether it be the gender symbolism, whether it be regional symbolism, whether it be sort of type of office. And the one thing that's fascinating about this particular year is that in the past, governors have sort of ruled presidential sweepstakes. But all of a sudden, we have two candidates from Washington, from the heart of the Beltway, and so I think keeping someone in the mix who comes from, you know, out in the hinterlands could be important for either candidate.
Virginia, not way out in the hinterlands, but not Washington. Let's go to our listeners. A lot want to join us in North Augusta, South Carolina. Ron is calling. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I seem to like Joe Biden, basically for his senatorial experience, his age factor. And when he was a candidate, I liked some of the things he was saying. I know he's from a small state and it's not going to bring any electoral votes with him. But to me, people are going to be voting basically for the presidential candidate. And Biden seems to lend experienced, fatherly type of individual, level-headed, well-thought person that Obama could use.
He's been in Washington forever, since he was a very young man and one of the youngest senators. Does that matter to you? Is that too much Washington, Ron?
Not really. I firmly believe that the experience is an important factor in this, and somebody like him could give good advice
Ron?
Based on the experience that he has had.
Yeah, we've got it. Thanks very much. Celinda, what do you make of someone like Joe Biden? His name seems to have sort of risen in the speculation realm in the last few days. Can you imagine Obama going to any of the former combatants in the primary season? Can you imagine Joe Biden?
I easily can, and I, in truth in advertising here, I work for Joe Biden, but I think that Joe Biden would be a fabulous choice for a lot of the reasons that Ron mentioned. I also would add to those, I think Joe has a way of really actually having stayed outside the Beltway a little bit, because obviously he goes home to Delaware every night and started that as a single dad. The second thing I'd say is I think that Biden has real blue-class sensibilities and can really relate on that level. And then finally, I think that...
Joe Biden is a blue-collar guy who's outside Washington. Are you still working for him, Celinda, or you did?
Well, I think he's got blue-collar sensibilities, and I'll tell you, he when you see him on the campaign trail, he really can relate to blue-collar Americans. As well as he's got a tremendous common touch that, as well as meet with heads of state. So I think Biden would be a terrific VP choice, also a terrific Secretary of State.
Howard Fineman, take us to the Jim Webb idea. Former Secretary of the Navy, former Republican, has come over, become a Democrat, has been in the Senate not very long. Does he count as outside Washington anymore? And what about Webb? He's a plain-spoken. He's got the military side, Howard. Maybe he's too plain-spoken sometimes.
Well, he's one of those guys that reporters love because he's such good copy, sometimes unintentionally so. Maybe if he weren't such a colorful novelist, it would things would be better because he's written some interesting fiction. But that aside, I think in some ways he does fit the profile because Jim Webb has even written a book about his Appalachian roots as Scotch-Irish up there in the mountains and so forth. That's a region of the country where Obama did underwhelmingly, as you recall, and Webb is from those people. So in demographic and geographical terms, it would make some sense, not to mention the military side of the equation. I agree with Celinda. You look at Webb, you look at Wes Clark, who's had some national exposure. Webb is interesting, and I do think Virginia is in play. There's no question about it. And Virginia, Northern Virginia, is now very much a part of Washington, D.C. The Northern Virginia suburbs are not the Virginia of old. Even the Richmond area is not the Virginia of old. And I think Obama is dead serious when they talk about making a play in Virginia. The question is whether they need to spend their VP choice on doing that. I don't think they necessarily do. I think they're going to be in play in Virginia whether they put a Virginian on the ticket or not.
David Hill, what about it? Does Jim Webb, former military guy, Secretary of the Navy, if he ends up on Obama's ticket, does that check some of McCain's advantage with all of his military experience?
That's just not going to happen. I think, as Howard said, that Webb is an accident waiting to happen. And one thing you always... as you move towards selecting a running mate, you just want to be cautious. You don't ever take risk. And putting Webb on the ticket just because of his free-flowing conversation would be taking a risk. It's just not going to happen.
What you think he's too liable to say what's on his mind, whether or not it fits the presidential candidate's tight agenda?
Absolutely.
Celinda, what do you say?
Well, I think that I understand what David is saying. I mean, usually you don't want unpredictability in a VP, but I actually think that Webb is, the things that he says now are a lot more careful than the things he said in the beginning of his campaign, and I think Webb would be fine. I think Wes Clark would be fine. I think, and there's some of this, give him hell and tell it like it is, it's very appealing to voters. So I think a little less calculated speech from a Joe Biden or a Jim Webb is probably appealing this cycle.
And if we look back, Jim Webb had that essay entitled Women Can't Fight back when women were being invited toward the U.S. military. Does he create a problem, Celinda, on the disenchanted women front for a Democrat?
Well, that was something that he really had to deal with in his Senate race. And he said he had changed his mind. He apologized for it. He had a number of... women in the military who stood up with him and really you know, vouched for him, including Claudia Kennedy and the first woman general in the Army, and just really, really outstanding women leaders. So I don't think there'd be much currency if they tried to raise that again.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's take a call from Sudbury, Massachusetts. And Mike, hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
Let me say, I just want to say two things. One, that what Obama doesn't need, and I really don't think that Obama needs a woman or another minority as his VP, not only because his campaign is unique enough as it is, but I think it also kind of diminishes his brand as being being who he is. I think he needs a white male. That being said, everything that your panelists are saying, that you need some gray hair, that you need some outside Washington experience, that you need military experience, I would also suggest that you need the experience in the 24/7 media freak show that's out there. And the one guy that everybody seems to agree on is Wes Clark. He has all of that. And not only that, but Wes Clark is like a great example of our public education system. Public schools, West Point, you know, public military academy.
He's never been elected to office. It hurt him last time. Would it hurt him in the vice presidential running mate seat, Mike?
But we're not electing Wes Clark.
Well, we would be as vice president.
What Wes Clark brings for Obama is the ultimate credibility with the troops, with the Pentagon, with the public, on the biggest issue, which is Iraq.
Howard Fineman, how do you see it? Celinda also pushes Wes Clark here. Mike says here for that. Does he really have legs?
Well, I covered the short and not all that happy campaign of Wes Clark when he ran for president. And that was his first time out, and he had no idea what he was doing. Earnest guy, incredibly smart. Not forget a Rhodes Scholar, I believe, and one of many out of West Point, by the way. A very thoughtful guy, a very smart guy. He, as Celinda, I think, said, he has the advantage of having been in Hillary Clinton's camp and is thought of fondly by all the Clinton people. He's from a state and a region, that is Arkansas in the South, that the Democrats need to play in to expand the board as much as they can. And I think he's learned a lot about national politics and the 24/7 voracious media. I think he's pretty much a known quantity at this point, which is a good thing. In other words, Wes Clark was pretty scrubbed as a candidate. I don't think there are many surprises left about Wes Clark, which is a good thing. The problem that you have with somebody like Jim Webb, who's a great guy and a brave guy and a guy with a lot of fortitude, is I think that the first several days after his announcement would be spent learning everything you didn't know about Jim Webb, and there's a lot, whereas in the case of Wes Clark, there isn't that much. So if Obama goes in that direction, I put that in the basket of the generals, if you will, and general-like, then Wes Clark is definitely one of the leading ones, but there are other baskets as well.
Earlier in June, even earlier than that, over Memorial Day, John McCain had his kind of what looked like VP tryouts at his Arizona ranch. He hosted former rival Mitt Romney. He had Florida Governor Charlie Crist, Louisiana's Governor Bobby Jindal. McCain tried to downplay the whole thing.
It's just having a group of friends for Memorial Day weekend to visit us and enjoy one of the most beautiful places in America.
Just some buddies hanging out at the ranch. On June 11th, Democratic strategist James Carville told CNN that former Vice President Al Gore should reprise his role as number two.
I think if I was Senator Obama, I would say the biggest economic problem we face is the biggest national security problem and the biggest environmental problem. And if I were him, I would ask Al Gore to serve as his vice president, his energy czar, and his administration to reduce our consumption and reliance on foreign energy sources.
Al Gore, Celinda Lake, is that James Carville just making mischief there, or is that got anything going?
Well, I don't think Al Gore would serve as VP again. I could be wrong, and I don't have any inside knowledge. It just doesn't seem right to me. But some kind of super czar energy position, I think it'd be great. Great for the party, great for the world, great for the country, and I think thinking outside the box in terms of some role for the VP in that would be great.
David Hill, what about John McCain and outside what has been the box on the Republican side? A number of women have been mentioned, Elizabeth Dole, Sarah Palin, the governor, recently elected governor up in Alaska, 44 years old, Carly Fiorina, Meg Whitman, names out of the business world from Hewlett-Packard and eBay CEOs there, and then Bobby Jindal, a man of color who's a governor in Louisiana now. What about that whole arena, David, and McCain's contemplation?
Well, and let me throw in my senator, Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether she might be in the mix, but another name that some have mentioned. The calculation for McCain, I think, should involve a woman. I think that even if a woman is ultimately not selected, we've sort of raised the high stakes, the sort of theater and drama of all this. Even the governor's flying in from halfway across the country. There is some theater to this that's an important part of the whole process. It says something about the man. And, Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman are really interesting sort of thoughts because they are people who are close to John McCain. And they had been involved in politics. I think at the end of the day, probably neither would really have a shot at this because I think at the end of the day, John McCain is going to place readiness to be commander-in-chief above everything else. And I don't particularly know what Carly Fiorina or Meg Whitman would bring to that role. But just the fact that they're in the mix might indicate that they would be in a McCain cabinet. And those were exciting thoughts. Bobby Jindal as well.
We'll talk about Bobby. Let's get a call from Nicole in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Nicole, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Listen, to that point, I guess I'm one of those disaffected Clinton voters.
Okay.
I voted for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to see her on the ticket, but I don't want to see her as vice president. I'm not that interested. I think that wouldn't be a great combination. However, I really resent the fact that it's sort of taken for granted that I'm going to come on board the Obama ticket. I'm not sure, and what would really caused me to take a much closer look at McCain is if he had a woman as a vice president. And I hope it's not just theater. I would really like him to take seriously someone like Olympia Snowe or someone who is a woman but is able to be commander-in-chief.
So Olympia Snowe, senator from Maine. Anybody else on that list? What about a former female CEO? What about Carly Fiorina or Meg Whitman at eBay? Would that do it for you, Nicole?
You know what, Tom? I don't know. I think the point of it is it would really cause me to take a very long and serious look at McCain.
I'd
possibly vote for him.
Yeah. Nicole, thanks for your call. Celinda, how big do you think that, group of the electorate is? Like Nicole, unhappy, post-Hillary, don't want to see her as vice president, in fact. But if McCain chooses a woman, maybe, just maybe, they'd go over.
Well, I think the issue is that vice presidents do a couple of things. Ironically, they have the most impact when they are first in. If you look at the electoral data, like from the University of Michigan studies, they have the most impact when they are first chosen, and then they kind of merge with the ticket. And the impact they have is very much what David was talking about and then also what Nicole was talking about, which is they draw attention, they communicate something. So I think it would be a formidable week when McCain chose a woman. I think he definitely has to consider some, and it would be noticeable if he didn't, and I think it has to be more than symbolism. I agree with Nicole on that. The issue is, though, what's interesting about a pick like Olympia Snowe or someone like that, I think what ultimately unifies women behind Obama is McCain's record on women's issues. And what happens when you start to ask an Olympia Snowe, okay, well, Senator McCain does not support a woman's right to choose. Senator McCain does not support overturning the Supreme Court decision, which allowed women almost no time to address equal pay discrimination, and said you had to file the case almost immediately before most women even find out they're not being paid the same.
Mm.
He supported time and time again budgets that would have cut things from everything from breast cancer to loans for women's small businesses. So the issue is, I think it could be a really rough week. It could be an exciting week on the first day, but the rest of the 6 days could be pretty tough for that woman.
Howard Fineman, how about it? Do you see a woman in the Republican camp that John McCain would actually settle on here?
Well, part of the problem is that some of the most qualified ones, and I'm thinking the caller mentioned Olympia Snow. Mm-hmm. As long as you're up in that region of the country, I would mention Susan Collins also.
In Maine as well, yep.
Yes. John McCain's got a problem with the conservative base of the party, with the evangelical base of the party. Picking Olympia Snow or Susan Collins wouldn't help him there.
No.
Not at all. It would make things worse. Elizabeth Dole is on the list, of course. Kay Bailey Hutchinson, as was mentioned. The problem with Fiorina and Whitman is that the fact that McCain needs somebody ready on day one to be commander-in-chief makes them problematic.
Sarah Palin in Alaska has five children of her own. Maybe the Republican base ought to think she should be with them.
That's enough, and that's enough to make her commander in chief for sure.
Right.
But I know a lot of conservative talk show people love Sarah Palin.
Mm.
They just think she's really cool. She's really conservative, but she's really out there in a friendly but committed way. They love the freedom of Alaska. They love that she's taken various bulls by the horns up there. The problem is that McCain doesn't know her from Adam or Eve, that he's got to get to know her, and I would expect to see her cycled through the drama that David was talking about, because there are a lot of people at the conservative grassroots talking about her. They're very impressed with her.
Let's take a call from Southampton, New York, and Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
There's a name out there for the Democratic vice presidential candidacy that I, to my great surprise, have not heard mentioned once, and my friends and family and I think is wonderfully qualified and discussed, and that's Bill Richardson. And I'm curious to see or hear what everyone thinks about him as a potential candidate.
He's got a big resume. He was right there in the mix in the primary season. Selinda Lake, do you still hear Bill Richardson, New Mexico governor, bandied about? There were many who thought he was in the primary race positioning himself to be Hillary Clinton's running mate. And then, of course, he flipped over and endorsed Barack Obama. Do you see him as a live candidate, Selinda?
You do. And I think people have definitely talked about him. But I think very much like putting a woman on the ticket, I can't remember who said it, but I think most people are thinking more about a white male and someone who would be reassuring. And I think, as we say on our side of the aisle, there's only so much glass you can put on the floor at one time by, you know, breaking through glass ceilings. And I think that at this point, probably the number one thing we need on our ticket is reassurance.
But what about the Hispanic vote? Barack Obama had some trouble with that vis-a-vis Clinton, though, again, in this NBC Wall Street Journal poll late last week, he looked very strong there compared to McCain. Is that still an issue? Might Richardson help on that front as a Hispanic political leader?
Richardson could, but I would say, and it isn't just NBC Wall Street Journal, several polls have shown Obama doing quite well with the Latino vote.
62-28 over McCain last week in that NBC poll, yeah.
That's right. I think that, again, one of the things that's going to be quite unifying here, and I don't think we take either the Latino vote nor the woman's vote for granted, but when the contrast gets out here on the records of these two, I think that's going to unify the Latino vote and the woman's vote behind Obama.
Let's go to David in Nashville, Tennessee. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Let me suggest an Obama-Bredesen ticket. Phil Bredesen is the current governor of Tennessee. Not only did he reform the health care system here in Tennessee, he endorsed Obama last week, so I think he will lend credibility to Obama's health care plan and also be that Lyndon Johnson sort of a factor in terms of bringing in Southern votes to Senator Obama.
David, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know much about Phil Bredesen. How old is he, roughly?
I'm not certain. He looks to be in his upper 50s. Good-looking guy, of course. He's probably in his upper 50s.
Governor of Tennessee, Howard Fineman. Let's talk electoral map a little bit. David says, you know, look to Phil Bredesen, Tennessee governor, might help bring in the South. What kind of opportunity does Obama have there? Do you think a VP candidate could help him bring it?
Well, I've heard people talk about Governor Bredesen, and he's has been quite successful on the health care issue. He's pretty well regarded as a governor there. He's a Democrat in a state that's a mixed state, that's very much of a swing state in the ideological sense, although it's been pretty Republican in presidential elections. I think he's somebody who should be on that list. I think that key areas, looking at the Electoral College map, and it's easy to oversimplify, but why not? Let's look at that Ohio River Valley area that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the upper Midwest, which has become increasingly a battleground. We're talking about Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, although I think Iowa's going to go Democrat this time for sure. And then we're talking about the Southwest, where the Hispanic vote is so important, and where you would think that John McCain would have a shot because he had been considered a moderate and a reformer on immigration. But as John McCain has tried to solidify his Republican base, he's sort of moved to the right on immigration, and that's been noticed by Latino voters, which is one reason why, even though he's from Arizona and even though he's moderate, or was, he's not doing better among them now. So I think Obama's got a real shot in the Southwest, you know, at Nevada, at Colorado, New Mexico for sure. Whether he needs a Latino on the ticket or not, I doubt it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. David Hill, Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, very young, 36, going on 37, Indian background. Does McCain need him in ethnic terms? Does he need him in southern electoral map terms?
Well, obviously, he would meet a lot of criteria. He's young. He's very charismatic. He's a person who's politically experienced. He's been through some serious political battles. He hasn't won them all, but he's experienced in political campaigning. He's having the time of his life. I saw him on Jay Leno, and not many 36-year-old Louisiana governors get on the Tonight Show. So this is fun for him. I'm not really sure whether it makes sense to be thinking about him on the ticket, though, politically and in some other respects from a McCain standpoint. But I think it says that the McCain campaign is interested in youth, that he's even on the short list. It says that they're interested in courting minority voters. And Bobby Jindal is going to be a comer, whether it's in a McCain cabinet or whether it be in running for president in his own right someday.
Interesting how the signaling works here. Just to contemplate someone or say so publicly kind of puts them on the map, maybe wins you something. Let's get a call from Nashua, New Hampshire, and Alicia. Alicia, you're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You know, I'm listening with much interest about the vice presidential candidates, and we're talking about race, mm-hmm. we're talking about Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman and women and their importance, and I agree with that, but what I'm not hearing is the qualifications of the vice president to, if something should happen to the president-elect, would this candidate for vice president be able to take over for the remainder of the president-elect's term? What would happen? Do you see Meg Whitman or Carly Fiorina being able to take over as president of the United States? Absolutely not.
Because they've been in private industry and not in the public arena, Alicia?
Yes. Because they've been in the private sector, because their focus has been business, and what are their views on the war in Iraq, the economy, and things like that. I'm not hearing a lot of talk about that. All I'm hearing mostly about, you know, we need to get the Latino vote and we need to get the women's vote.
All right, but what about their actual readiness to do the job? Thanks for that. Let's go to Howard Fineman. Howard, take these two names in particular. Why do you think they've made their way? Meg Whitman, former CEO of eBay, Carly Fiorina, Hewlett-Packard. Why are those sitting up in the midst of all these other political names on John McCain's list? Is that also signaling? Is that someone's wish list off stage? How do you interpret it, Howard?
Well, part of it is that Carly Fiorina in particular has been on the campaign plane a good bit of the last month or so, and she and McCain have a great relationship.
Helping him show a female face, giving him some economic credibility.
And by McCain has always had some very strong female staffers around him and sort of helpmates on the planes. For decades. And in the case of Meg Whitman, he's very impressed with her economic background and business leadership. Obviously, they're getting women involved to the extent they can because of the drama that David was talking about, which is to try to show who John McCain is. And by the way, Cindy McCain, his wife, who always looks pretty as a picture, is a tough cookie and very, very smart and will be very, very involved in the decision that McCain makes. But I think the caller makes an important point. If Dick Cheney has shown anything, he's shown how important the vice presidency can be. And I think it's grown in importance really since starting with Walter Mondale in the 1980s and then George H.W. Bush. I mean, sort of Mondale in the late 70s, George H.W. Bush, and Al Gore for sure. It's become increasingly important. and whether or not they not only have to be ready to step in at a moment's notice, they also are now seen as important players in policy and leadership. I don't think that genie is going to be put back in the bottle. I think whoever it's going to be is going to have to be ready to lead on their own from day one.
Howard, we've got 10 seconds. Mitt Romney, he's got that presidential jaw, and he had Michigan. Does he come back into the consideration seriously late in the game?
I think so. I think he and McCain were eyeing each other out there in Arizona and seeing if they could live with each other.
Maybe not great buddies, but it might just work. Howard Fineman with Newsweek, author of The 13 American Arguments. Howard, always great to have you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank
David
you.
Hill at Hill Research Consultants in the Woodlands, Texas. David Hill, thanks for being here.
Good conversation.
And Celinda Lake, always great to have you, Celinda. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.